Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with our discussion of forthcoming events upon the world as prophesied by the Great Mother of God. For 25 years, beginning in 1970, the Virgin Mary would appear at the Holy Grounds of Bayside in New York and deliver a number of prophecies that are about to unfold in our time. As she has said, there is to come upon the world soon the Great Warning and the Great Chastisement. One will follow the other. The warning will essentially begin the process of the coming chastisement upon man. In fact, Our Lady herself has said that the warning is the beginning of the terrible sorrows. But then, if that is not heeded, God will send the ultimate chastisement, in which up to 3/4 of the human race will perish. However, the warning itself will be a chastisement, and a very severe one at that. When we look up the word chastisement in Webster's, it means just that, to purify or to make chaste. And that's exactly what the warning will do, or what it will attempt to do. It will be a cleansing or purification of the world's conscience, where every person on earth is made to see exactly where he stands with God at that time. So indeed, it will be a chastisement. The essential difference between the warning chastisement and the ultimate chastisement is that the final chastisement will claim bodies. It'll take its toll in human life, whereas the warning will take its toll on our feelings and our human pride, but will basically spare the body. As Our Lady said, it is just a warning which will give every person on earth the chance to reflect on his spiritual state so that their remaining days upon earth can be used to purify and prepare themselves for the ultimate chastisement. You see, the world today needs to be chastised because we've lost our sense of chastity. According to the message, this is the most degenerate, unchaste generation of history. The world today has become obsessed with body fun. So Our Lady has stepped in at this late hour in history to remind us that this is not accepted by God the Father, that if we wish to be saved, we have to walk with honor and keep ourselves clean from the influence of the flesh and the world. As St. Paul says, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Mind the things that are above, not the things that are upon the earth. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, lust, evil concupiscence, covetousness, for which things the wrath of God cometh upon the children of unbelief. Colossians 3. So what St. Paul is saying is that if we truly believe in Christ and honor him, we will never do these things because it is completely out of character with our calling as people and citizens of God. We are not animals, Our Lady said. We were made in the image and likeness of God, created above the animals, and therefore man is not to be fleshy or physical in his regard toward one another. We are not animals. We become like dogs sniffing dog today. In Galatians, St. Paul says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are fornication, uncleanness, immodesty, luxury, idolatry, witchcrafts, enmities, contentions, emulations, wraths, quarrels, dissensions, sects, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I foretell you, as I have foretold you, that they who do such things shall not obtain the kingdom of God. Galatians 5. And this is what Our Lady today is telling us, that we have made these very things a way of life in our society. We're steeped in it. Fornication, St. Paul says. How many people today are engaging or living together without being married? It's commonplace. We are living in Sodom and Gomorrah. Uncleanness, or homosexuality, that's all around us too. Luxury and idolatry, where is this not prevalent? Our Lady says that money and wealth have become the god for many. Immodesty? Let's check that one. How many women today feel they have to put on a garment that is indecent and self-gratifying just so she can run around in her disgrace and get everybody to look at her? And how many men correspond with her sins by turning their eyes in the wrong direction? We truly become like dogs on the streets, dirty. And yet, how careful people are to avoid any uncleanness in their temporal state. If somebody drives their Mercedes into a muddy ditch, and he spills his hamburger and Coke all over the seats, how fast he gets out the sponge and the soap and the wax, and he buffs that car off, and he has the inside all detailed, and he shampoos the carpet, and he doesn't leave off until that car is spick and span. Or if a person gets pimples on their face, how fast they run to the pharmacy and get a prescription to medicate those pimples. And it's not enough just to cover them up. The idea is to completely cleanse those blemishes out of your skin because those blemishes are not part of your skin. They don't belong there. That's part of its sickness. Just like a cancer tumor, that tumor is not part of your flesh. That's part of its sickness. It doesn't belong there. So too, these tendencies mentioned above are not part of our life. God has not placed this tendency in man where he wants to be angry or jealous, or he wants to feel lust or passion, or he wants to be queer and feel like a girl, or a girl wants to be like a man and think she's his equal. or somebody wishes somebody dead. These tendencies are criminal and have been given to us by the devil through our fallen nature, and if we correspond with them, we are accountable before God. According to Our Lady, a full accounting will soon be placed upon the world. This is why Our Lady exhorts us to remove ourselves from a world that has been given over to Satan. We may live in the world, yes, but we cannot be of the world. We cannot adopt its ways. Our Lady says that to be saved, we must be different in this world of Satan. We have to stand apart from the world and keep our allegiance to God. As our Lord said, if any man's going to be ashamed of his words, he'll be ashamed of us. And Our Lady extends this message to the clergy, because she says they become worldly today. On July 15, 1978, she said, quote, "You must pray for your bishops, pray for your cardinals. Many pastors have buried their heads in the sands. They are blind of spirit. And why? Because they do not pray. They have given themselves over to worldly pursuits. They do not pray. They do not stay in the spirit, but have become of the world, seeking gold and silver and honor and power among men, until in their pursuits they are handing over my son's church to the enemies of God." And that is Our Lady, the Mother of God, speaking to the world, July 15, 1978, and that is no exaggeration. The clergy today have become ashamed of our Lord and his doctrines. Were it otherwise, they would have never have changed the church since Vatican II. The question may be raised, if what you're saying is true, then why hasn't the Pope echoed these same concerns about the priests? Well, the truth of the matter is that he has, basically. The Pope has exhorted the priests not to tarry among women, or to have them on the altar, and he's repeated over and over that there will be no women entering the priestly ministry, and that the Mass is a sacrifice, and that they should not have irreverent or worldly music in church, and that we therefore must stand behind him and support him with prayer. As Jesus says, quote, "Peter was my first pope and your first pope, and as all others who followed him, they must be accepted, be they weak or noble, be they with sanctity or unholiness. They must be accepted and followed." Unquote. And that makes good sense. After all, if God has given each of us a human pop on earth, I think most of us do have a human father, and let's just say he falls into some kind of misfortune, becomes an alcoholic, becomes ill, whatever it is, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw your dad away and go buy another one? Or are you going to stand behind him? You got to stick to the one that God gave you, be he weak, strong, good, bad, or otherwise. You got to say, come on, Dad, you can do better. Come on, Pop. Come on, Pope. That's what we have to say to our Holy Father in Rome. Come on, Holy Father. You can stand up against these heretics in Rome. You can come forward with a little more courage, a little more conviction. Come on, stand up. Do the consecration of Russia. Rescind the treaty with Russia that was made in 1962, where the church made a pact with the devil. Don't stand behind these sins. The Blessed Virgin Mary wants you to get rid of these things. She wants you to lead the church with nobility and courage. We got to pray that the Pope has that kind of courage. We mentioned before the fire of sin that is burning out of control today on earth, but the reason, the main reason, is because the church leaders are not maintaining the full strength of the Holy Gospel. That would be like a fire extinguisher to put out the fire of sin on earth. But they're not doing this. Rather, they are encouraging the fire, even inside the church. They're endorsing sin. You have homosexuals inside the church. You have homosexuals that have lead control of liturgy programs in the church in dioceses all over America. And then you want to know why they have sex abuse. Lucifer, the prince of darkness, has placed that effeminate tendency in the heart of man. And any man that attributes that to God commits blasphemy. God didn't create murder, envy, jealousy, lust, or any of these tendencies spoken of by St. Paul, the sins of the flesh, the works of the flesh, as he says, that are manifest, fornication, uncleanness, immodesty. I think we should stop on that one again. Our Lord has said that women are not to wear clothing that in any way draws attention to herself or exposes her body, because as he has said, every inch that is exposed shall burn in the fires, and rightfully so. That is a serious offense in the eyes of God. Immodesty, Our Lady says, is a sin. It is a commission or an act of impurity. It's not that it leads to impurity. It is an act of impurity. And St. Thomas Aquinas makes this so very clear in his Summa Theologica. So Our Lady exhorts the women of our nation to cover themselves and put away their nonsense. As St. Paul says, they that do these things, running around in their low-cut dresses and transparent tops, shall not obtain the kingdom of God, because they are offending in the eyes of their Maker. And according to the message, woman has no right to offend, just as men have no right to offend when they want to run around with their purse and act queer and talk effeminate and make a big issue, a little stink and fuss and fit about this in public, and even going legal and trying to have gay marriages and all these things. as we try to emphasize and bring home today, ladies and gentlemen, that we today are living in the realms of Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is bringing the wrath of God upon the world. The great mother of God has come forth at this last hour in history to alert the peoples of this earth as to what is coming very shortly if we don't restore decency and morality, not only to our homes and our government, but to our Holy Roman Catholic Church. We've allowed homosexuality now among the priesthood. It's the greatest offense of all time. But the major difference between Sodom and Gomorrah and us is that back then they at least had the decency or a certain degree of light to know that what they were doing was wrong. They at least kind of hid what they did. Whereas today, we've gone public. It has become an accepted way of life in our society. It has been elevated to the level of higher learning in our textbooks and our colleges and also into our legal systems, and it's been integrated throughout our society and become part of our so-called dignified way of doing things. But there's no dignity to doing these things. That in itself is a greater perversion than being a homosexual, where we pretend that impurity is pure and that purity is impure. But those that protest will retort by saying, what are you worried about? Jesus already died on the cross for all this. Oh yeah? Well, let it be known that when it is said that Jesus died for our sins, it's not to be understood that Jesus died so that we can sin. Rather, he died so that we may never sin again. The idea is that we follow the Redeemer out of our sins and leave them behind. As the Savior himself has said, come, follow me. He didn't say follow our lusts and our passions, because if we do, as St. Paul reminds us, the wages of sin is death. As Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I tell you? As he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That is the only way that we can love God and show that we are his disciples. And this is what Our Lady calls us to today, to be true and dedicated witnesses for heaven, which for baptized Catholics will mean a return back to the Catholic Church. Our Lady says that all those that have been born and baptized Roman Catholic must die Roman Catholic or they will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, the truth will make you free. And the truth in this case will mean a good confession. So now is the time to liberate ourselves from any vice or shameful passions that may be holding us captive. Jesus and Mary are really not that hard to please, and I think this is really a point that we should bring home here, that they're very candid and on the level with us, very down to earth, if we might use that term. And in their mercy, they have stooped down to our level to speak to all of us today in very frank, candid terms. And they're not that hard to please. As our Lord said, just believe. Just believe and you'll be given the way. Your sins will melt away. Even if they're as numerous as the sands of the sea, they'll just wash away like nothing. You'll have to do penance for your past sins, yes. We're not going to deceive you. But at least you'll have that peace, that consolation, that peace of conscience, and that consolation of heart of knowing you're doing the right thing. That's that peace that surpasses all understanding. And all that will instantly be yours upon believing the message from heaven. Those that are interested in receiving this message can write to us. We would invite you to do so. Send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, Post Office Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And when you write, you might ask for our four-page, full-color leaflet on the coming warning, spoken of today. This event is soon to unfold upon the world, Our Lady has said. She has told us over and over the warning is now coming upon mankind, and those who are abiding in the light of grace, keeping the commandments, will pass through the warning without suffering. Our Lady has said that. But on the flip side of the coin, those who ignore the message from heaven and who are engaging in all these ugly things mentioned today, boy, they're going to find this warning very hard. So do yourself a favor. Don't resist Jesus and Mary. Resist your sins. And don't listen to those false priests of our time who tell you, don't worry about your sins, just relax. God accepts you just as you are. Don't listen to them because this is not true. This is heresy. God does not accept us as we are. This calls to mind the serpent's attack upon Eve in the garden when he tempted her and told her, you can eat the fruit. God won't punish you. He loves you. You see, it's happening all over again. Satan, the prince of darkness, entered our Catholic Church in our time. He did this through the Second Vatican Council. And through fallen priests, he is now advancing this seductive heresy throughout our Catholic Church. You find it everywhere. It's especially prevalent among your charismatic groups, your Pentecostal groups, but it's everywhere. It's permeating the whole fabric of the Church today. We might say that the mystical body of Christ today has cancer, but this kind is invasive. It's not just a tumor. It permeates the entire body of the Church from the bottom right up to the top, As Pope Paul VI himself said on October 13, 1977, the darkness of Satan has entered and spread throughout the Catholic Church, even to its summit. And so each person throughout the Church, be he clergy or laity, has an obligation to his God to lock out and reject this ungodly influence. We cannot accept heresy. God is all goodness, mercy, and love, we know this, but he will banish to the abyss those who dishonor him during the course of their life and who allow this ungodly, filthy influence to come into his house on earth. Look at the wrath of God that came upon the people in the Old Testament when they allowed the heathens to come into the temple and set up their idols. How many times the Lord complained in the Bible about their groves and their altars and their idols and the works of their own hands? And this is exactly what we have today. The clergy of our time have grown ashamed of our Lord's teachings and have now set up the works of their own hands to worship. And the worst of it is that they say that the Holy Spirit did it. But Our Lady and Our Lord are telling us that this spirit is the devil that has given them this new religion. And we can't emphasize this enough because it is murdering the Church. And this is one of the major reasons that the punishment is coming upon the world, because those who have the power to do good are now using their rank to destroy the Church and mislead the people of God. Let them consider the warning of Jesus to his priests on August 14, 1979, when he said, quote, "Awaken now, my pastors, from your slumber. You are like ducks traveling downstream, heading for a whirlpool that will take you deep down into the abyss. You are playing follow the leader, and who are your leaders but the enemies of my Church? Open your eyes. Do not harden your hearts because you have become soft, my pastors. You care more for the pleasures of the world. You have become worldly. You have lost your way, and the sheep are astray. Shall you stand before me and say that you have completed your mission in the light, in good sight before me? Oh, woe to the pastor who neglects his role, his vocation. Woe to the pastor who sells out my Church for silver and gold. I will say unto him, Begone from me. Like a viper, you shall be destroyed in the abyss." And that's Jesus speaking to his priests, August 14, 1979. And we quote this message to show forth the great anguish in our Lord's heart over the present conditions today within his Church, because this is causing his beloved children to be led astray. He wants each and every soul to live with him for eternity. But if the priests scandalize these dear souls through false teachings and send them down the path of perdition, they will lose their souls. But our Lord will hold the priest responsible. This is St. Michael's Broadcast, which is the one radio program designed to bring to you this urgent message of Jesus and Mary, as given in our time through the late visionary, Veronica of the Cross. We are going to listen now to a recorded segment of Veronica receiving the message from Jesus on June 18, 1984. Again, these visitations took place at Rosary Vigils held at the Vatican Pavilion site in Flushing Meadows Park, New York. Veronica at the vigils would be in a state of ecstasy in which she would see and describe the Blessed Virgin Mary and her Divine Son. At their direction, she would repeat out loud the message they would give her while her voice was being taped. Now, what you're going to hear is Veronica's voice, but it is Jesus speaking through her.
My child and my children, you do not recognize the floods that have been set upon you. These floods shall increase, and many will die. And these floods shall be in diverse places, places not known before to have had such an occurrence. Many mothers' hearts will be saddened. Also, my children, I have tried to warn you through my mother and countless other personages from heaven to prepare, for you are fast heading for a war, the Third World War, the war that shall make mankind extinct. But for the few who are chosen to keep up the faithful and true banner before mankind. My child and my children, you must keep the message from heaven going throughout the world with haste, great haste, for no one knows the day or the hour. But we have recognized the signs and have given these to you, my children. The Eternal Father knows all and sees all, and knows every heart that has been placed upon earth. However, the Eternal Father has said there will be a great destruction upon mankind very soon because of their lack of listening to the cautions of my mother and our appearances throughout the world. War, is a punishment for man's sins. There will be wars and more wars, and yet their hearts are hardened and their ears have deafened to the fact that this can happen in the United States, Canada, and any part of the world that the enemy has infiltrated into. My child, this is not a lesson in politics. This is but a lesson of reality. What will happen if you do not accept the messages from heaven and pray, do penance, do much to help my mother in her mission? For so many are needed, so many prayers are needed for those poor souls whom have no one to pray for them. You ask my child countless times, in the power of God, why do you not just take them from the earth and cure them of their illness, the illness of ignorance and the illness of avarice? My child, there is one thing you must understand. Man has a free will and shall not be forced through the gates of heaven. He must come of his own free will. The day will come when all of you will understand fully the message from heaven and the existence of hell, purgatory, and heaven. Do not let those who preach heresy change your hearts and take you away from my church. Your vicar is in great danger. Once more, there is a plot now afoot against him. He has many enemies. Though he has a loving heart, he has many enemies, as so did I upon the cross.
Now in motion against him.
My children, you will all pray your rosary daily. Even if it needs to stop the work you are doing, you will excuse yourself and retire to a quiet place in your office threshold. The rosary must be said at least once a day, the 15 decades. All who pray the rosary and wear my scapular shall be saved. All who place the crucifix upon their front doors shall be saved like the passing of the Lamb. My child and my children, I do not have to stress to you the numbers of young souls that are being destroyed in wars that are going on now throughout your world. Do not become complacent, my children. Do not think that this cannot happen here and there is no danger. The greatest danger for the United States and Canada comes from infiltration into every manner of business and even the Holy Church of God. Satan has entered upon the world some time ago, as my mother expressed to you, and he roams now like a ravenous wolf. And if you do not keep your sacramentals about your neck, the chances are 99%, my children, that you will fall. If you understand the necessity of the brown scapular, you will understand also the necessity of keeping yourselves in the world, but not of the world. You must work for heaven with a fervor that comes from the heart.
You're listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to a recorded segment of the Seer Veronica receiving the message from Jesus on June 18th, 1984. And our Lord here has a very important piece of counsel to all the apostles of the last days, where he tells us that if we understand the necessity of the brown scapular, we will also understand the necessity of keeping ourselves in the world, but not of the world. You see, your scapular is like your life preserver to keep you afloat in the world. And as our Lord said, if you don't have your scapular on, the chances are 99% that you will drown. You see, one of these sharks will come up and get you. A couple of years back on our show, we heard the bone-chilling testimony of a woman whose husband was instantly possessed by a devil upon removing his scapular for a witch. And this had the verification of several renowned exorcists, including the late Father Malachi Martin, who, by the way, was advisor to three popes and author of many best-selling books. He conferred at length with this woman over a period of time, and this man continues under his state of possession to this day. This is 12 years later, and it really brings home the importance that we keep our brown scapular upon us at all times. Those wishing to hear this show can order our show number 215, only cost you $2. If you'd like to receive more information, you can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. There is no cost to receive this information, but again, we do remind you that your financial assistance is necessary to keep this program on the air. So if you'd like to see this message continue each week over the station, then send along your gift offerings today made payable to St. Michael's World Apostolate, and again, we do remind you that your donation is tax deductible. That mailing address again for all the information, St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That website again, www.smwa.org.